What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Forsberg, half board, Friosi at the point, return to Forsberg, who comes out near the point. Now, from the circle, he scores! What a ripper! He really let that one go! Power play goal for Philip Forsberg, and the Predators take a 6-1 lead.
Philip Forsberg, 5 goals in the first 6 games of the season. Then he was dealing with a lower body injury, out for 6 games. Back in the fold, that was his first goal back, or since being back. Now has 6 on the season, power play goal in the third period. And that would be the 6th and final goal of the evening as the Predators would win 6-1 in Detroit. Our weekly with David Poile is right now. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside. Willie D is heading back from Detroit yet. He will join us later in the show when he lands. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Darren.
That was a nice win last night, huh?
Yeah, we needed that. Obviously, the last couple of games didn't go our way. You know, the Calgary game, when we had the big lead 4-1 and losing in overtime, that kind of left a little bit of a mark. And, you know, we didn't quite recover, I guess you would say, from the Rangers. But to me, last night was a real good effort. I mean, 60 minutes long. I mean, kept the, foot on the pedal, so to speak, all the way through the game. And we were rewarded with a big win against Detroit.
If anybody was going to have a pool going into the season and said, you know, early November, Nick Bonino will be leading the team in goals. If you had that, you're currently leading your pool. What are you seeing out of Nick Bonino that is having early success from him?
Well, again, just a real smart player. I mean, as they say, if you want the money, where do you go? You go to the bank. And for Nick Bonino, he's going in front of the net. I mean, let's call it like it is. There's some players that just won't do that because there's a lot of cross checks and a lot of physical play in front of the net. And I think about 5 or 6 of his 8 goals have all been by redirections, deflections. And, you know, good on him to be realizing, you know, where we have the best chance of scoring. I mean, we break this down all the time in terms of the danger areas. And we have zone 1, zone 2, zone 3. And you kind of measure where your quality is. And zone 1 is the place to be. And that's where Nick Bonino has been. So, you know, fantastic for him. And it's been a huge bonus for us this early part of the year.
David, I thought it was nice for Kyle Turris to get rewarded because I thought his line had a good shift. It was about 5 minutes to go or so in the first period, and he rang one off the post. It looked like maybe he was going to be able to tie it up with that. But later on, 5.5 minutes into the second period, he did get his 4th of the year. Nice play by him, just collecting a bouncing puck in the neutral zone. But we talked about him so much last year. He's off to a really good start. What are you seeing out of Kyle Turris?
Well, Kyle has always been a top offensive player. He's got a real dangerous shot. I guess I'd like to see him kind of use it a little bit more if he can, because he's very deceptive and it's very fast, fast shot. He changes direction just like he did last night. It's from a long way out, but he changes direction a little bit with his stick and his body, and I think he used the defenseman as a little bit of a screen, and it turns out to be the winning goal. So Kyle's getting a lot more chances. Again, our lines have been moved around a bit the last 3 or 4 games. I'm all right with that because it's early in the year and you're trying to find out who can play with who. And, you know, last night, Yarncroc, who has actually played very well and was moved up early part of the year from a 3rd or 4th line position to the top line with Johansson and Arvidsson, gets spotted there last night with Duchesne and Turris. And I think he really helped them from his energy standpoint and his ability to retrieve pucks. So, you know, it really, really benefited both Duchesne and Turris. Duchesne got 2 goals, one on the power play and one even strength. And as you just mentioned, Kyle got the winning goal. So it looked like it had possibilities for sure.
David Poile, general manager of the Predators, on the line with us, joins us every time this week on Tuesdays. That's presented by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirit. You rewarded Colton Sissons with a 7-year deal in late July this offseason, a $20 million deal. He just collected his fifth goal of the season. Colton Sissons has always been, as I've described him, you always need a glue guy in the room. Colton is one of those guys. I love what he's been doing, especially coming down the right side. He's just been coming down and just delivering some bombs from the right side. I'll ask you the same thing. What have you seen so far out of Sissons' good start to the season?
It's his birthday today, so he's 26. So I'm sure he's happy about scoring last night. I mean, Colton's a player that we feel is still getting better in his overall game. Lavi uses him in all situations right now. Because of Bonino scoring so much, Sissons' line has actually become our checking and shutdown line. And if you see last night, there was different matchups through the game, and they weren't as important because we got the big lead in the second period. But, you know, Coach Lavalette probably was going to, when he had the ability to, he probably put Sissons' line against Larkin's line, which is Detroit's most dangerous line. And you might see that, you know, on Thursday night in Colorado in terms of where McKinnon is playing. And I would think that it's a little bit harder because we don't have the last change. But when Coach Lavalette gets a chance, you think he'll put him against Sissons against McKinnon. So all-around player, plays hard all the time. A guy that's a really good team player. I think he's a leader on our team, a future assistant or possibly captain type of a player. He's that influential with our guys. And as I said at the beginning here, I just feel that his game has still got more to grow. And, you know, as his hands are getting better, he's going to contribute more offensively than he ever has before. And we've certainly seen that in the early part of the season.
You brought up last Thursday's game, and I thought Austin Watson was going to pull everybody out of the fire and have the game winner with just over a minute to go. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. But he did have two goals in that game, and what a night it would have been. Announced in the second period, he gets a new contract and could have had the game winner late. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since that new deal was announced, 3 years, $4.5 million. What went into that? And we got a chance to talk to him, Hal Gill and I, in postgame after the game, and he really, you could see it, is just his body language, how much it meant for the organization to stand behind him, and he admitted how tough last year was for him and his family personally, and for you guys to reward him with a new deal, you could just feel it right there in the room of what it meant to him. So what went into that decision?
Well, first of all, it's two goals and two assists. I wish I could sign a player before every game. Maybe we get good results. When you sign Yossi, I believe we had a pretty good game that night.
Yep.
You know, you can only dole out so many contracts. But on a more serious side, it's certainly well documented all of the problems that Austin has had off the ice, and I really feel that our organization, and I mean throughout our organization, lots and lots of people, lots of players, different situations at different times, that everybody has worked really hard with Waddy and his family to at least help him get partially where he is today. Obviously, the responsibility and the only person that can, you know, really do it is Austin Watson, and he has certainly made a concerted effort to be, you know, as responsible as he can be. And for example, his first summer is when you look back at it, because of all the situations that happened off the ice with Waddy, it was first summer that he's been able to work out on a regular basis, and he just looks really good. He feels good. We totally recognize when you have a situation like this that it's a day-to-day situation, but I didn't feel that it was right to, when we're trying to keep our core of our players together, to just try to, you know, offer him a one-year extension type of thing. I think it really felt that the right thing to do in terms of our relationship is that we should do a little bit of a longer-term deal, and I know he and his family are very appreciative of that, and we're very happy that we signed him, and we obviously hope him the best of luck both on the ice and, more importantly, off the ice.
David Poile, Predators general manager, here with us. And just sticking on that for a second, David, is that one of those, you know, when it's all said and done and you've agreed on the terms, that you kind of sit back personally and just knowing that you're part in all of this and the organization's part in all of this, that's it's a little bit of a personal victory to help somebody along like that and then reward them for coming out on the right side?
Yeah, this is very difficult. I mean, just because I've been in the business a long time, unfortunately, I've dealt with some of these situations before. They're never quite the same. They're always very difficult. You have the player that usually in most cases thinks it's a one-off. The problem is never recognized at the beginning. There's usually a lot of failure, if you will. I think relationships don't go smoothly in most cases because you're always negative with the player. You're confronting the player and you're trying to do what you think is right, but it's hard. And again, it always comes back to the player getting the proper help and counsel, and then coming to grips with his situation. And with Waddy, he has, and with our organizations, I'm just repeating myself. I really feel that we've done the best that we can to be an ally for him, to be there when he needs it. And again, our players probably are at the top of the ladder there in terms of deserving the most credit in terms of how they've kept Waddy, as part of an important part of our team, and including them in everything, and looking out for him, if you will.
So I tried to get you last week on this, and you didn't bite. So I don't think you're going to do it now. But how long do you want to evaluate some of the other contracts that are going to be coming up this off season? Are you going to spread things out a little bit, or is that something that you're already looking at?
We're always looking at it. So, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to bite, I guess, if you will. I think that there's a lot of games to be played. As I say, that we're looking at a lot of different situations. And again, it's not just me, if you will. It's also, some of the other players. I mean, we don't have too many contracts to do. I mean, there's two or three forwards and in their last year with Granlund, Smith, Grimaldi, and a couple of defensemen, three defensemen actually, and Hamhuis, Irwin, and Weber. I mean, we've touched base with their respective agents and, try to have that relationship to letting them know that everything kind of has an order. And, we're not totally clear on what the cap is going to be next year. And, I just think it's going to take a little bit more, more time to figure things out. We want to look down the road here a little bit in terms of how our team, fares as we get closer to the, the middle of the season, to the trading deadline, to see whether we want to or need to make any changes. So I think right now we're in a good place, and I don't anticipate doing anything, in terms of other contracts at this moment. So that's not to say in a month or so that won't change, but at the moment I think we'll sort of stick with where we are.
David, what have you seen out of Mikael Granlund lately? He had a pretty good start to the season with that Duchene line, and I know with injuries, things have moved around, and Peter Laviolette is trying to find the right combinations, but things have cooled off for him as of late. What have you seen?
Well, I think what Peter Laviolette was trying to do last night is kind of message a little bit to our top two lines that we're getting plenty of scoring, but it's not coming from you. It's coming from the third and fourth line, and we just need a little bit more balance. And Duchene was arguably our best forward for the first five or six games. Then he got hurt. Forsberg, as you had mentioned on the opening, at 5 goals in 5 games, and then he got hurt, came back, he finally scored last night. Duchene gets 2 goals last night, so just shaking things up. So Kyle Turris gets rewarded by his play and moves up to the first or second line, however you want to call it. Granlund moves down for at least one night. Kalle Yarncroft, who started on the fourth line, has been now playing on one of the top two lines and playing very, very well. So I think the competition is always good. And again, knock on wood, when I say this, there's going to be things that happen, from good play, bad play, and injuries, that we need to know what people can do. So the fact that we're moving people around right now is not the worst thing in the world. Granlund's game last night to me was really good, and he had as many chances as anybody to either get assists or to score a couple of goals, and he just seems to be a little bit snake bitten right now. So I think he's in a good place. He works as hard as anybody on our team, and I'd just like to see him have a little bit more success. And if he could do, in terms of getting some points, because if he could do that, I think his confidence would even go higher and be a top player for us.
David, we always appreciate the visits. Enjoy Denver, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
That is David Poile, general manager of the Predators. And every week, Tuesday at 11:15, it's presented by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. They are out there. They will pick back up on Thursday against the Avalanche. Saturday night, late night hockey. They'll be up in Northern California against the Sharks, who are off to a horrendous start. And then they'll wrap things up Tuesday in Vancouver against the Canucks. So it's a four-game road trip over 8 days. So it's an opportunity for the team to spend some time together, you know?
Yeah.
And so you need those.
Which is what you like about road trips.
Right, and you need those team-building exercises, especially mm-hmm. early in the season, to get everybody on the same page and also to kind of just loosen things up a little bit, right? Kind of get away from hockey. And this road trip will certainly allow them to do that. All right, we'll come back and discuss a little bit more about the Predators on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.